Okay, good morning, everybody. So I mentioned like last week that we've already covered all the topics relating to Gerim. There's one more that we did not cover, so that's going to be this morning's Samin Halacha. If a Ger likes to cook food for dinner for themselves, and they were planning on a big party to celebrate their Gerus, so they cooked all their food in advance, and now they're Megayer. So now is all of that bishalakum? Do they have to chuck all the food that they themselves cooked, right? We didn't discuss that one yet, so let's discuss that. So Rashi seems to give two reasons for the Yisra of bishalakum. And Daf Lamed Hei in the Sukkos of Zara, Rashi says that bishalakum is asr because of chasnus. And then on Daf Lamed Ches, Rashi says, midrabanan shlo ye Yisrael ragilat slo b'machol mishta, v'yachilenu dover tamei. So Rashi in the Sukkos of Zara, on the one hand says bishalakum is asr because you can come to marry a non-Jew, and in Masechet Avot Zara, if you dub him later, he says because you're afraid the non-Jew is going to feed you something not kosher. Tosos and Daf Lamed Ches and Rav Masechet Avot Zara points out this problem in Rashi. It says Yosinira Hatamishum Chasnus, that he thinks that the real reason is the earlier Rashi is because of Chasnus. However, the Achronim do try to explain Rashi. So first they say that the context of Rashi and Daf Lamed Ches, where he spoke about the concern that a guy will feed you something not kosher, is right after the Gemara tried to suggest that the source of bishalakum is from a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu told Sichon Melech Heshbon that ochel bekesef tashbireni v'achalti umayim bekesef titenli v'shasisi. Apparently saying that they can only eat those foods that are similar to water, in that they're lo nishtanu al yidei ha'or, that they're only allowed to eat the kinds of foods that don't really change by being cooked. And then the Gemara rejects that limud, because the Gemara says midi orksiv. Orksiv doesn't say anything about fire in the pasuk. Rather, if you want to know about the Yisro Bishalakum, midrabanan v'kras machta bialma. It's not really from the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation with the Sichon. No, it's midrabanan. The pasuk is an asmachta. So the Bach in Simon Kuf Yud Beis writes that the real reason is chasnus. But in the Gemara, Rashi's trying to explain the asmachta from the pasuk, which will help define the geder iser, and that geder iser is shemiyach lenu davar tameh, because the pasuk compares food to water. Water doesn't change by fire, and there is therefore no concern of davar tameh, meaning when dealing with something that's a clear ingredient, that you know everything that's in there, then there's no concern of davar tameh. Like water is a very clear, easy to tell that it's just water, and therefore is not kashrus sensitive, and that indicates to us that anything that is kashrus sensitive would be subject to bishalakum. So that's all Rashi's trying to do on Daf Lamed Ches. The Orach HaShulchan suggests that Rashi was bothered by why we are more makel on pas than we are on bishal, and concluded that pas has only one reason, where bishal has two reasons. There's no concern for davar tameh on pas, because bread has to maintain its integrity. People who bake bread and are serious about it wouldn't just put a bunch of junk in their bread. They're very careful to put only flour and water and yeast in their bread. Kol ma sheyesh bo nira le'inayim, and anything that you add to the bread, someone could very easily see. So there's no chashash of davar tameh when it comes to bread. There's only chashash of davar tameh when it comes to bishul. So that's why Rashi maybe wants to highlight that bishul maybe has two reasons for the Yisur bishulakum. A third approach is in the Sefer Makor Chaim, quoted in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov, where he explains that Rashi is chosheish for both reasons. And if a situation arises where one reason does not apply, but the other one does, then the food is still asr. It's likely that originally Chazal asr it because of Shemiyach Lenu Davar Tameh, and that is from such an early time that they had a Havamina, that it was Doraisa. I mean, the Gemara even thinks for a moment Bishalakum is Doraisa, so it must have been a really early Gzeira Drabanan. Otherwise, the Gemara never would have entertained the possibility that Bishalakum is Doraisa. But then, once they asked milk, bread, oil, etc., due to chasnus, so they included bishul in the chasnus concern as well, since it would have been reason enough to make a gzera of bishul akum. So the original gzera of bishul akum was shemiyach lenu davar tameh. That was way, way early on. Then at some later point in history, they made a whole slew of gzeros because of chasnus, And when they added that reason of chasnus onto Bishul HaKom also, because had Bishul HaKom not already been usher, it would have become usher at that point because of chasnus. So if there's a mashkiach watching the non-Jew cooking and there's no concern that he might add non-kosher food, the food is still going to be usher. Meaning there's no concern shamiach lenu davar tameh, but it's still going to be usher mishum chasnus. The Taz and Sifkat Nalov says that the main reason for the gzeira is chasnus. Okay, so those are the two basic reasons that are quoted by Rashi. What happens in a case, though, where we're just worried about kashrus? What's the status of the food, let's say, by a non-religious Jew? So there's no chashash of chasnus by a non-religious Jew because he's Jewish, but there is a chashash that he might feed you non-kosher food, even unintentionally, even if he's just ignorant and he doesn't know all the halachos. So Pischei Tshuva quotes from a Teferis L'Moshe, who says, Dilfi tamzeh shari bishul shamumar dimishum chasnus leka, that as long as there's no concern of chasnus, then it's not going to be a problem of bishul akum. But don't forget about the other reason that he might feed you non-kosher. But and if that's the case, then you have to worry about someone who's not religious, who denies or is not observant of the Torah. So according to Rashi's second explanation, it's also to eat the food cooked from a non-religious Jew because he could mix in non-kosher food. However, the Kaf HaChaim is makel based on the Taz, and he says that nimtza de davar zeh hu biplukta lufi atamim. Meaning, the main reason for the Yisrael Bishul HaKom is Mishum Chasnus. So even though Rashi gives this additional reason, at the most it's a Safik Rabbanu Lekula, and it could be Mekel that the primary reason or that the only reason is Chasnus. So kosher food cooked by a non-religious Jew is Mutter. We don't have a Gzeira against it because of Shemiyach Lenu Davar Tameh. Rav Avadya in Yabia Omer in Chelakei Simin Yud says that one could be Mekel, but lechatchila best to get a religious Jew to turn on the fire, even if we know that the ingredients are kosher. That's what we try to be machmir for in most food establishments. That even if it's just a non-religious proprietor, we try to make sure that a religious Jew, that a mashkiach, turns on the fire. It's a worthy chumrah. As far as the tinuk shenishpa, Rav Nevin Sal Shlita said that you could definitely be mekel in such a case. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was more machmir because ultimately tinuk shenishpa has the same chashash of shemiyach lenu davar tameh as someone who's a kofer b'kala Torah kula. Either way, the bottom line is he's not familiar with kashrus. So this all brings us. What about a ger who prepares food while he is a guy and then he converts? He's planning a big party to celebrate his conversion. So he spent a week cooking in advance and now he converted. Now he's got all this bishul akum because he cooked when he was a non-Jew. So it would seem that both reasons given by Rashi do not apply. There's no chashash of chasnus because the gzeira of bishul akum wasn't enacted in regards to Jews, and the man is now Jewish, meaning if you would marry him, we'd say mazel tov, right? There would be nothing wrong. And the gzeira of chasnus is often formulated as being a concern that you'll marry the nachri's daughter, which might be a concern with the ger, but clearly the gzeira never included the cooking of a Jew who has a non-Jewish family member. So, meaning if a Jew cooks, even if he has a non-Jewish family member, that's not bishul akum, and that's what this guy is. He's a Jew now who has a non-Jewish family members. So just like if a Jewish male intermarries, you can still eat his food even though his daughter is not Jewish. Similarly, you can eat the food of a Jewish convert even though his children are not Jewish, because the gzeira only applies to non-Jews. Also, you can say Gershon's got a katan shalom dummy, so he doesn't have any daughters, he doesn't have any relatives, his biological relatives become irrelevant. The second reason for the gzeira also doesn't apply, because if the ger was preparing the food right before he converted, there's no chash that he had non-kosher food. And after he converts, he can testify that all the food is kosher because he made it himself. I mean, it's not like Hashem Yachalenu Davar Tameh. Who's Yachalenu? He's Yachalenu. He's the same person that made the food. However, the question becomes, when Chazal asks for food cooked by a non-Jew, does the Isser take effect when it was cooked or when you're eating it? Meaning, at the time that it was cooked by a Nachri. So then maybe it becomes a Chefz of Macholos Asuros, and that's it. It becomes Asser. Or do we say, no, at the time that I'm eating it, that's when the Isser is Chal, that I cannot be eating it. So does it become a chefs of machol surus, is there a nisagavra of eating it? If the yisr is on the person at the shas achila, so then you could say all of these svaras that the reasons do not apply. So in the Sefer Ben Yisrael La'amin, Perek Hay, written by a member of Rav Machbud's Beis Din, he's Machmir. He says that since the food was prepared to Isser before the Ger converted, therefore the food remains Usser forever, even for the Ger himself. Meaning, he learns that the Gzeir takes effect at the time of the preparation, and the food remains Usser for everyone forever. However, in the Chuvas Avnei Zikaron, Simon Pei Ches, written by Rav Alter Pfeiffer, a posek who lived in America in the early 1900s, he is Mekel. All this is quoted in the Ohel Yaakov, which is a nice Likud Sefer of all the different shitos. So he says that the main reason for the Gezeira is Chasnus, and that doesn't apply in this case. And he goes on to say that even if you want to say that the food becomes Asr at the time of the cooking and stays Asr forever, that's only for other Jews, who for them, Bishalakum is Asr. But for the convert, the food is Mutter. Meaning, there's a rule that once something becomes forbidden, it can no longer change and become permitted, but it was never Asr for this guy. Meaning, for him, then there was never a Chalos Isr. And since it was never usher for him, he's also able to eat it after his conversion. L'chora, most poskim would be machmir in this case, because at the time that he cooked it, he was a guy. So we're not going to sit here being the tam of the gezeira, and whether it applies or not. The bottom line is that they made a gezeira against bishalakum, and therefore l'chora, this certainly fits the category of bishalakum. So when he's planning his big feast, his big party, his big conversion party, he should probably have one of his Jewish friends turn on the fire. Unless he's converting Sephardic, then he should have one of his Jewish friends put the food on the fire itself, right? That's always a question when someone converts, like which minhagim do they follow? So generally speaking, we tell them to go with whatever community they're going to belong to. Some rabbanim say, well, where are your ancestors from? Even if they're not Jewish, but if they're from Iran, so then you're probably Sephardic, and if they're from Poland, then you're probably Ashkenazic, which is questionable, right? Why would it matter where his non-Jewish ancestors, his ancestors had very different minhagim than our ancestors. They were Ravid Avodah Zarah. Their minhagim involved killing Jews and, you know, all sorts of interesting things that we don't do. So different shittos of exactly how to deal with that. But Lemaisa, in terms of his own bishul lechor, it is a violation of bishulakim.
Okay. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.